in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we are gathered unto you again this morning. We acknowledge and we reference your presence in our midst. Do for us, do with us, do in us what only you can do. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Thank you for supernatural empowerment. Thank you for the supply of the Spirit. Thank you for times of refreshing. Thank you for ministry of angels. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh you people. I say clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Let's come to the middle row. You might be seated in God's presence. Welcome to church this morning. Today is day what? Day 6. We are making serious progress. Oh. Hallelujah. Today is day 6 of our 15 days of glory and fire program. Hallelujah. We've been on a fasting and prayer exercise. How many of you have been enjoying it? Me, I've been enjoying it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I started a series on Tuesday. Very crucial one. Very timely one. I started a series titled The Person and Ministry of the Holy Spirit. How important this is. How important this is. How important this is. The Person and the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is part what? Part what? Part 4. In this part, I hope to round up the teaching series, or perhaps round up tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. No, tomorrow morning will be the practical sessions. Glory to God. I say glory to God. We started by looking at the reality of the person of the Holy Spirit. How real he is. Very real. Though he is unseen, he is not visible to the optical eyes, but is very real. In fact, more real than human beings that you see with your eyes. We said the Holy Spirit is a being, is not a thing. Is a being, is a spirit being, is a person, is not a thing. So we don't use it. For Holy Spirit, no, we don't use it. It's not a thing that you use it for. It's a being, it's a person, it's a personality, it's a spiritual personality. He has a mind of his own. He thinks, he imagines, is an intelligent, in fact, the most intelligent being. He has a will of his own with which he makes choices and decisions.
He has emotions. He has feelings. He can love. In fact, he's the best lover you can ever know. He's very romantic. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you know the Songs of Solomon is a picture of our romantic relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you aware? Romantic love between Christ and His church. And the Holy Ghost is actually Jesus Unlimited. Like Benny Hinn we say. He says the Holy Spirit is Jesus Unlimited. And it's true. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to send another comforter, Allos Paracletus. In John 15, verse 26, I will send another comforter, Allos Paracletus. That means Jesus was their comforter. It's just like saying, I'm going to send you another driver. Are you getting my point? That means there was an initial driver, right? So Jesus, when he was with them, he was their comforter, their helper, their strengthener, their intercessor, all those other synonyms. He was everything to the disciple. Anytime they are in trouble, he's there to help them. When they were on a journey and there was a storm, they were confronted with a storm that almost sank the ship. Jesus arose to help them. Am I communicating? As long as he was with them, they never lacked anything. When they were sick, he healed their bodies. So now he is going. That was why the disciples became sorrowful when Jesus told them he is going to heaven. Then he now told them, don't worry, I will send you what? Another comforter. Another what? Give me verse 15:26. John 15:26. Today I'll start talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I told you that He fulfills the ministry in us, then He fulfills the ministry through us to the church, through us to the world. Okay? He said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit always testifies of what? Of Jesus. Okay, John 14:16. It says, and I will pray the Father, or I will ask of the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter. Allos Paracletus. Another is a Greek word, allos. Comforter is a Greek word, Paracletus. Now, it literally means that word allos, translated in English as another, it means another one of the same kind. There are two Greek words for another. The first one is this allos. The second one is heteros. There is allos, there is heteros. Heteros means another one of a different kind. Am I communicating? But allos means another one of the same kind. It's so interesting that Jesus did not use heteros, he used allos. Heteros means another one of a different kind. A different kind. That's heteros. Allos means another one of the same kind. Of the same kind. Did you notice? It's of the same. The same.
unlike heteros. Heteros is another one of a different kind. So that means the Holy Spirit is another kind of Jesus. Are you seeing something? Remember, I told you he's a member of the Godhead. So he's a kind of Jesus. But this time around, unlike the Jesus that walked on the earth, he's unlimited. Jesus unlimited. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at the same time because he was limited by this human body. Am I communicating? He could be in one place at a time. But the Holy Ghost is unlimited. His presence can be everywhere at the same time. Am I communicating? So he's another kind of Jesus. Are you seeing something? But this time around, his presence is not localized or limited like the Jesus that walked on the earth. He's not limited to one place at a time, because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body of his own. He's a spirit, so he can be everywhere at the same time. Am I communicating? That's what Jesus meant when he said, another one of the same what? Kind. Yesterday I talked about the communion of the Holy Spirit. You can get the message if you were not around. Very important. In fact, because that one comes before this one I'm sharing with you. It's the foundation for this one. Okay? I talked about what? The communion of the Holy Spirit. And I said in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and then the fellowship, the communion, the Greek word is koinonia, of the Holy Ghost be with you. I told you the secret to accessing grace. If you want to experience the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace that Jesus has brought, the provisions of grace, the grace that empowers, am I communicating? The secret is the communion of the Holy Spirit. It's what brings you to the vital experience of the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He is the spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of power. He is the spirit of love. He is the spirit of a sound mind. Sound mind is talking of wisdom. Hallelujah. So, when you fellowship with him, it brings you into the vital experience of the love of God. Some people have never felt the love of God. And do you know the love of God has healing power? There are so many pain, so many heartbreak, so many hurt. People have been emotionally hurt. There are people that need emotional healing, all manner of things, because of the traumatic conditions, terrible conditions that they've been through in the past. There's what we call post-traumatic stress. So all those things, is the love of God that will heal it. As you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there is an infusion of God's love. It begins to shed the love of God like a river. It begins to flow. It heals all those emotional trauma. It heals all those past hurt, all the people that have wronged you, disappointed you, abused you in the past. Am I communicating? It's easier to forgive when this love is shared abroad in your heart. You find it difficult to hold on to offenses and grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness. All those things, you let go of them. Am I communicating? A lot of people that are victims of unforgiveness, bitterness,
and all those things, anger, is most at times, if you check at the root of it, is lack of love. They've never experienced the love of God. They don't know what it means to love. They don't know what the love of God looks like. He said, we have known, Apostle John said, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. So it's in that place of fellowship that you receive of the Father's love experientially. Am I communicating? That, in fact, the depth of God's love you will never know except through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It transports you into that vibe. That's why most of the times, you know, during fellowship, sometimes I cry. It's because of the love. His presence is the love of God. Sometimes you weep, you cry. Tears comes out of your eyes. Am I communicating? And I gave you in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it talks of the communion of the Holy Ghost. I say it's from the Greek word koinonia, and that word koinonia, I gave you 12 meaning, 12 synonyms. It means communion, it means fellowship, it means intimacy, it means intercourse, it means friendship. By the way, the Holy Ghost is the best friend you can ever have. The most reliable friend, the most faithful friend, the most dependable friend, the one that sticks closer than a brother, the one that can never ever leave you, never ever forsake you, no matter what happens. But human beings are not like that. They can disappoint you, okay? So it means communion, fellowship, intimacy, intercourse, friendship, comradeship, partnership, communication, distribution, sharing together. The picture is like two people drinking from the same, it's like two people drinking from the same cup, sharing together. Communion, common union. That word koinonia also means participation, contribution. And then I told you, I gave you three things to note about building or developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I said, number one, intimacy with the Holy Spirit requires privacy. Privacy. Intercourse does not happen in public. It happens in private. Am I communicating? It requires privacy. So you do that in your closet. Number two, intimacy with the Holy Spirit requires the investment of quality time and attention. You must prioritize time with the Holy Spirit above all else. Don't get too busy. If you are not wise, if you claim to be too busy to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you are not wise. How can you be too busy for the most important person in the world? If the president of Nigeria or the governor of Plateau or the president of America or any big political leader says he has an appointment, he wants to have audience with you, will you say you are too busy? Won't you forgo other things? Won't you clear your schedule? Won't you sacrifice other things that will have occupied that time for the meeting? Because it is the governor. Because it is the president. Because it is US president. You first consider the person that we are talking about. So it now determines the sacrifice of time and attention you are willing to make. Now, we can do that for governor, human governor. We can do that for president, a human being. We can do that for US president because we honor and respect them. How much more the Holy Spirit? That's why I said you are a fool if you say you are too busy to fellowship with him. You don't know what you are missing. It's not wisdom. He's the most important person in this world. He's the governor of God's kingdom. And he's the greatest person, most important gift of God to us. is the greatest blessing of God to us in Christ. Is the number one person you need to succeed in this life. You know, human beings are funny. We are willing to do anything to meet big men, in quotes, to meet rich men or to meet politicians, because we believe they can help us. Sometimes you see people waiting for hours to see the governor, and they don't care. They can stay there for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. Some can be there from morning till night, because they believe that if only I can have audience with the governor, my problem will be over. If only I can see the president, my needs will be met. That contract will go through. If only I will see this politician, if only I will have audience with this billionaire, my financial trouble will be gone. Now, if we can have that kind of faith that our life will change, our situation will change, if we meet a human being, how much more the Holy Spirit? Think of it. Are you aware the Holy Spirit is the maker of men? Study the Bible. All the great names we read about, the exploit they did, nobody ever encounters the Holy Spirit and remain the same. Nobody. All the great generals we read of, who do you think was the maker of them? It was the Holy Spirit. These were ordinary people, but the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life transformed them from ordinary to extraordinary, from natural to supernatural. The Holy Ghost is the maker of men. He specializes in turning nobodies into somebodies without consulting anybody. It is a specialist. He specializes in turning non-entities into global entities. I'm telling you, is your greatest asset. You know, we pride in human connection. You know, especially with Nigeria, who say, oh, my brother, now who you know? Now who you know for this country? Now who you know? To get that job, you need to know somebody. You need to know this person. You need connection, human connection. But are you aware that the greatest connection is the one with the Holy Spirit? Is your number one helper in this life. And it is when he is helping you that he will now start steering the heart of other human destiny helpers to help you. Nobody will help you if God is not helping you. He's the one that moves people to help you. He's the one that gives you favor with men. It touches their heart. They come under his compelling power to favor and to assist and to help you. Is your greatest destiny helper, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You need to know this wonderful personality. If you will pursue knowing and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit more than you pursue your human connections, your life will have been transformed beyond measure. I'm telling you, with the same passion with which we pursue human connections that we believe can help us, put the same effort into your relationship, your fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and watch how it will turn you into a sign and a wonder. It will turn your life into a sign and a wonder. He's the maker of men. He makes them great. He makes them extraordinary. See, without the Holy Spirit, your life will just be ordinary. Honestly. there will be nothing remarkable about your life on earth. Your life will just be ordinary, just like the people of the world. He's the one that brings the extra factor into your life. He brings the super factor into the natural that makes your life supernatural. He brings the extra that makes your life extraordinary. Glory to God. All the anointed men of God will celebrate today. What do you think is their ultimate secret? It's the Holy Spirit. Remove the Holy Spirit from their life. Just remove him. They will become ordinary like any other person. It is his presence that makes a difference. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is the difference maker. Catherine Kuhlman knew this. Benny Hinn knows this. The more you know the Holy Spirit intimately, the more you fellowship with him, the more you learn to partner with him, the more you learn to submit to his lordship, the more you learn to yield to him, the more you learn to obey his voice and his instructions and his leading, the more you learn to walk with him, the more successful your life becomes. The greater your life becomes, the more supernatural your life becomes, the more extraordinary your life becomes. Hallelujah. He's your helper. I say he's your helper. I say he's your helper. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Even Jesus could not fulfill his messianic mission without the Holy Spirit. Jesus would have lived and died as an ordinary carpenter if not for the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus will remain the son of a carpenter, and then the carpentry was his business, was his trade. Because in the Jewish culture, you inherit your father's trade. If your father is a fisherman, you too become a fisherman. Just like Peter and Andrew, they inherited the trade of their father, who was a fisherman. Jesus' father was a carpenter. Eh? So if your father is a carpenter, you too, you have to learn the trade. And for 30 years, he was a carpenter. There was nothing remarkable about the life of Jesus. We never read or heard of anything supernatural or extraordinary. That was why the scriptures didn't talk much about his life during that period. Because his life was ordinary like any other man, until something happened one day. John the Baptist baptized him at the River Jordan, and the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove. Like a dove will rest upon somebody. And then the Bible says Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God spoke. The voice of God the Father spoke in heaven. That is another scripture that contains Trinity. The Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus like a dove, and God the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus returned, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was now led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But before he was tempted, he fasted 40 days and nights. He fasted. Thank God he fasted. Is it fasting will help to fortify your spirit, to strengthen your spirit man. It will help to tame the flesh and its appetite. I told you before, human problem began with food. How did man fall? Food. How did Esau lose his birthright? Food. When Jesus, after finishing his fasting, what was the first thing Satan tempted him with? What was the first thing? It has to do with food. So in other words, if you cannot overcome the food temptation, we doubt whether you will be able to overcome any other one. Because the chief appetite of human being is food and drink. Food is only second to drink. Test, hunger, test, hunger, test for water. You test for water, okay, and then for food. Am I communicating? The Bible was specific that Jesus was hungry. See, for those 40 days, he ate nothing. The Bible was silent about him drinking water. Okay? The Bible did not say he didn't drink water. The Bible only said in those days, he ate nothing. And I'm sure that if he didn't drink anything, we would have been told. Okay? So, and then he is now hungry after the 40 days. He didn't say he was thirsty. So, it presupposes that Jesus was drinking water when he was fasting. But he was not eating food. That's why I said, in these 14 days, drink water. Edidion, drink water. Tell me, boss, drink water. It's good for your health. But plain water, not colored water. Don't go and add something to it. Some people can go and put Foster Clark. Yeah, Papa said we should drink water. You just go and buy mineral, pour it inside. Then water, water. Nah, 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 nah. So Jesus was hungry, and said the tempter came. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. So it was a temptation associated with food. But through that fasting, Jesus has been able to tame his appetite and desire for food. Am I communicating? Fasting helps you to tame the flesh and the appetites of the flesh. It helps you to tame fleshly appetites. And I say the chief appetite in man is the desire for food. That's number one. And if you can control that one, it's easy to control others. The desire for food, survival instinct, is number one. People can do anything. That's why you see politicians understand this. They use it to win election. Wicked politicians. So they'll keep the people poor. Eh? Keep them hungry. It's a strategy. Then when it's election time, they will now be giving them, if you vote me, one bag of rice. It's a strategy. Because they know that human beings can do anything just to survive. So they can even vote for the person that they have sworn, they vowed that they will never vote, just because the person is going to meet their middle belt, how do they say it, stomach infrastructure. So at that point they are no longer reasoning correctly. That's why I agree with Pastor Sam Adeyemi when he said a hungry citizen cannot be a good citizen. It's true. Because that hunger will not make them think straight. Once they are hungry, at the most important need to them at that point is to quench the hunger. So anything they are ready to do to quench it, whether good or bad. And the Western world understand that principle. That's why they've come up with a welfare system that ensures that at least you will have food to eat. In the Western world, you can't just die of hunger like that. There's a welfare system. When worse comes to worse, last, you go and apply. Government will give you food. Because they don't want their citizens to be like Africans. Hallelujah. See, if you can conquer your appetite for food, then you can conquer your appetite for sleep, then you can conquer your desire and appetite for sex. Am I communicating? When you notice that you lack self-control in terms of controlling your sexual drive, you understand? Small thing like this, you don't lose control. Before you know, you are committing sexual immorality, you are fornicating, you are messing up. It shows that you've not yet conquered your appetite for food. Because see, the desire for food is greater than the desire for sex in human beings. That's why sometimes you see two married couple, husband and wife, they are beefing each other. Maybe they have problem, they are fighting, they are not even talking, they are not in good terms, they are not having sex. This one sleep in that bed, that one sleep in the second bed, or this one will sleep face north, the other one will sleep face south. But the man is still asking his wife, where is my food? Because food comes first. Are you seeing that? He's still looking for his food. Even when maybe he's too proud to ask her, he will wait when she has slept. Then around 12 or 1 a.m., he will now enter kitchen. He will open the pot. It must not fall so that she will not wake up. Let it not start. He will fetch food and eat. Now go and lie there and see if nothing happened. So, you see, these are the chief appetites in human beings. For food, number one. Followed by sleep. Followed by comfort, then sex. And if you can tame the first one, if you can control the desire and appetite for food, then you can control all the other ones. Am I communicating? You can control others. Praise God. I say praise God. This one an appetizer for somebody. But I know it blessed somebody. Praise God. Now, intimacy must precede ministry. Intimacy must come before kingdom service. Give me Matthew 11 verse 29 in the Message translation. Intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit must come before what? Before what? Before ministry and kingdom service. Don't put the cart before the horse, okay? I say Matthew chapter 11 verse 29, Message translation. The first thing I said about intimacy is that intimacy with the Holy Spirit requires privacy. The second thing I said is that it requires the investment of quality time and attention. Give God your time, give Him your attention. Give Him your time, give Him your attention. The third thing is intimacy with the Holy Spirit requires affection, your heart affection. Okay? Give Him your heart. He said, my son, give me your heart. Set your love upon Him. Set your heart upon Him. Let your desire be towards Him. Love Him. Be affectionately desirous of Him. Make Him the number one love of your life. Let intimacy with the Holy Spirit become your prime passion, priority and pursuit in life. Okay, Matthew 11:29. He said, walk with me. That walk with me is talking of intimacy, fellowship. Am I communicating? Walk with me is talking of intimacy, communion, fellowship, our intimate walk. And then he said, walk with me. That walk with me is talking of ministry, is talking of kingdom service. So your walk with God is what determines the success of your what? Walk. Whether it is ministry walk or kingdom service walk. Your walk, W-A-L-K, must come before your walk for God. Your walk with God must come before your walk for God. Intimacy must precede ministry and kingdom service. Am I communicating? Mark chapter 3. Then he says, you will learn the false rhythms of grace. Mark chapter 3 verse 13. You see the order there. Mark 3 verse what? 13. He says, he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. You see, after he called the 12 disciples, he called them. He called them. It was a call unto kingdom service. It was a call for them to do ministry, right? A call unto ministerial assignment. But look at the order. Look at the protocol. Next verse. After they came unto him, let's see what happened. Verse 14. He said he ordained 12, so he ordained them. So their number one job description is that they should be with him. That they should be with him. The first thing is intimacy. That they should be with him. Fellowship, intimacy. And that he might send them forth to preach. That is ministry, kingdom service. So which one came first? Which one came first? Because many are in a hurry to go and preach. Many are in a hurry to serve. Many are in a hurry to do ministry, public ministry. Many are in a hurry to engage in kingdom service. And they miss the order. They forget that intimacy must come before what? Ministry and kingdom service. Glory to God. And then verse 15. And to have power. Where will you get the power from? It's from intimacy. The empowerment will come from the Holy Spirit to do the ministry work. The empowerment will come when you spend quality time with him, fellowshipping with him, when you invest time, and to have power to heal the sick. Hi, many are looking for power. Many are looking for power everywhere, but they don't know that power, the anointing, is a derivative of rich fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Grace and power flows from intimacy with the Holy Spirit. When you fellowship with him, there must be a rub-off. That rub-off is called the anointing. You will be smeared with the anointing. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit is the ultimate secret of power. That's why in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So he's a power bringer. So when you get to know him, you become intimate with him. You learn to commune with him. You learn to fellowship with him. And then you learn to obey his voice. You learn to yield to him. You submit to his lordship. You follow his instruction. You will not beg for power. your life will be an unending stream of the miraculous. Praise God. This is very important. See why I'm emphasizing it? It's very, very important. Now, John 14:26. Give me an Amplified. Amplified. But the Comforter, Paracletus. Okay? Then in bracket, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, comma, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of or bring to your remembrance everything I told you. Is the one that reminds you God's word. He reminds you scriptures. He reminds you of even the messages you have heard before. You know, God can lead you that way. How many of you know that? You may be in a situation in which you need direction, you need guidance, and you're wondering what to do. And the Holy Ghost will use a message you heard before, whether it is in AGMI meeting physically or you listen to our messages on our Telegram channel. He will now use that message to give you direction and clarity and answer your question. Yes. I was talking with Dr. Victor Ghana. He's in the UK. Sometimes back, he was telling me something, and then it reminded me of this scripture. He said there are times that he needed to make decisions. He didn't know what to do. He needed guidance. He said, this is how God leads him at such point most times. He said, he will just hear my voice. He will hear my voice. The Holy Spirit will remind him of a message that I have preached. It may be when he was in Jos, when he was attending meetings like this, it will just remind him of what I said at such point. And that is how the answer will come. Guidance will come. Direction will come. Clarity will come. Or it may be an AGMI message he listened to. Am I communicating? God can speak to you through the voice of your shepherd. Am I communicating? He said you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk here in it. But before that verse, he said, though the Lord give you the waters of affliction and the bread of sorrow, he said, he will not take your teachers from you. So as you subscribe to the teachings of your teacher, you will now hear God's voice in their voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. He said several times God have led him that way. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost can lead you that way. He will just remind you. He will remind you of what Jesus have said to you through your man of God. It may be in his message. It may be in a meeting. Am I communicating? Now, I want you to notice how many words or synonyms are used for the Holy Spirit. Number one, Comforter. Number two, Counselor. Number three, Helper. Number four, Intercessor. Number five, Advocate. Number six, Strengthener. Number seven, Standby. Now, These seven words is a summary of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. So write the ministry of the Holy Spirit, put A, is ministry in us. Then under his ministry in us, write all these seven words. He is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, is our counselor, is our helper, is our intercessor, is our advocate, is our strengthener, and is our standby. Hallelujah. These are his sevenfold ministry in us. Oh, glory to God. Are you not happy that you have somebody that is these seven things to you? Are you not happy? Is there any human being that can do all this for you? That's why I say you should value and treasure your relationship with the Holy Spirit even more than human relationships. As important as human relationships are, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is greater and more important than that. If it is your relationship with the Holy Spirit that will even determine the success of your human relationships. That's why we say don't go into relationship or dating or all of that with somebody that does not know God. There must be trouble. And it doesn't matter what the person seems to have. Fine boy, money, cars, houses. See, forget those things. Once the person does not know God, you can never have a successful relationship and marriage with such person. It will not work. Okay, let's pick the first one. The Holy Ghost is our comforter. Say, the Holy Spirit is my comforter. Who is a comforter? Encourager. Abi? He is your chief encouragement officer. Clap for me now. The Holy Spirit is your chief encouragement officer. You know, most of the times people are discouraged, they are downcast, challenges, problems of life have beaten them down and all of that, and they are looking for encouragement. The Bible talked about David who encouraged himself in the Lord. But we are privileged to have the Holy Spirit living in us. David didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him. You know, in the Old Testament, all they had was the Spirit upon. They didn't have the Spirit within. The Spirit upon comes upon them to empower them to function and for service. Okay? The offices, the three chief special offices in the Old Testament, the office of a king, the office of a priest, the office of a prophet. And those offices, because of their offices, the Holy Spirit comes upon the king to empower the king with authority and power for rulership, for kingship, so that they can govern. It gives them wisdom for leadership. Then there's the office of the priest. The Holy Ghost comes upon the priest and empowers them to discharge their priestly function for effective service. It comes upon the prophet so that they prophesy, both forth-telling and foretelling, so that they can stand in their offices and function efficiently and effectively. Glory to God. So all they had was the Spirit upon. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them, because Jesus had not come. Jesus had not died. Jesus had not paid the price for humanity's transgression. Redemption had not happened. Jesus had not been glorified. But the good news is that we don't just have the Spirit upon like they had. We have the Spirit within. Remember, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he said, he is with you, but he shall be in you. And he will be there forever. It's in you. Your body is his temple. And guess what? He is not separate from your human spirit. He is in union with your recreated human spirit. That's why 1 Corinthians 16:17, it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord. The Greek word is to be glued together, to be cemented together. As in, you have become inseparably one. It's an inseparable union. You can't separate it. It's like mixing Coca-Cola and Fanta. It becomes Coca-Fanta. You can't separate. Even if they can separate by chromatography or whatever in the natural, this one is a spiritual union. He that is joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. No. You know, most of the times when we read that the Holy Ghost has come to live in us and that our body is his temple, let's say this is our body, in our mind we are thinking this way. Most of the time we think that our spirit is inside our body like this. The Holy Spirit is inside our body separate like this. No, this is not the picture. The Holy Spirit is not living in this temple called your body, separate from your human spirit. No, rather, the Holy Spirit is united to your human spirit as one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That word joined, glued together, cemented, is a vital union. This is talking of our oneness with God through his spirit. Our oneness with God. And this is the secret of the miraculous. Remember, Jesus said, my Father who dwelleth in me, he dwelleth the works. He's the producer of the miracles. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He's talking of his union with the Holy Spirit. His union with the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that we too, we are united with him as one. Our union with deity. Kai. This is a thanksgiving point every day when you wake up. It's enough reason to just be thanking God. So the God of the universe that created heavens and earth is in union with my spirit as one. Is there anything that is greater than this? The same God that is in heaven that we will go to later, that same God is living in you now. Is in union with your spirit now. So you can have a foretaste of heaven on it. Are you seeing something? And it's not that he left part of his power in heaven. No, he came in the fullness of his power, the fullness of his glory. What is above is within. You didn't hear me? What is above is within. He lives in you. He walks in you. He talks in you. He perambulates in you. Everything above is also within. Hallelujah. So, as our comforter, he encourages us. Oh, thank you, Spirit of the Living God. And he does not just encourage us, he makes our life comfortable. The comforter, he ensures that you are comfortable. is your chief comforter. He ensures that your life is comfortable. So it removes every form of discomfort from your life. Give me an example of things that cause discomfort now. Sickness, pain, lack, poverty, debt. Anything that constitutes discomfort, part of his ministry is to delete it. Somebody say delete. He removes it from your life, including your relationships. He deletes them. All those kind of relations, you don't have peace. It's as if you are struggling to make it work. Is that not a sign that something is wrong? You know, some people, is it that they want Jesus to appear to them? My son, my daughter, this relationship is not my will. Don't you know that leading you have in your spirit, that your peace that you have lost, you will notice that the relationship is a struggle. You have to be forcing things to happen. Is that not a red flag? Eh? You say you are in a relationship with the guy. You are the one doing the calling more than the guy. The guy say he's busy. Thank you, error. It's a big error. How can a guy be busy for somebody he claims to love? See, ladies, hear me. Let me give you wisdom. If you are in a relationship with somebody and you notice that you are the one doing all the calling, most 90% of the calling, you are the one calling him, communicating more. You understand? He only calls you when he sees your missed call in response to your own call. Let me tell you the truth. You are in a relationship with yourself. That person, he doesn't love you. He's not into you. He's just tolerating you. The day he sees a lady he likes better, he moves. If a guy truly loves you, he will make time. See, even if he's living under the sea, he will create time to reach out to you. No man is ever too busy for the woman he loves. It's a lie. It's a lie. Yeah, you know, I've been so busy. As I'm talking with you right now, I'm about to book flight to Chicago. Na lie. Ide nyanya for Abuja. No, guys can lie. Guys can lie. Yeah, you know, you see, the problem is that the ladies too, they like the lies. The thing they sweet their ear. Say, hey, you mean you are at the airport? You say, yeah. I'm about to, from there, I have another meeting in this one. Now so you enter one chance. Every relationship is sustained by communication, constant communication. When I was working in Mangu Sabon Light, there is a part of Mangu called Sabon Light where the Kokin Hospital and Rehabilitation Center was. That place, the network is terrible. Network is bad. I have to be looking for network. Walk here. And that was when I was in relationship with my wife. I will make the sacrifice. Go outside, sometime 10 a.m. Only me. Close to any bush, anywhere there is network. I will call. 10 p.m. She's here. You can confirm. Because I love her. Sometime I will call for 1 hour inside cold. My body is shaking inside cold, but the love, they shock my head. You understand? That's why I said, if a guy claims to love you, if he's not communicating, he don't love you on a lie. There's nothing like he's too busy. Even if there is no network, if it means to climb tree, he will climb tree and call you. The proof of love is sacrifice. Praise God. So the Holy Ghost makes your life comfortable. Glory to God. It makes your life comfortable. It causes you to enjoy encouragement, even when you are going through tough times. Give me 2 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit has been putting this scripture in my heart. 2 Corinthians 1. Let me show you something there. You see, it comforts us in our troubles. He encourages us when we go through trying times. You know, sometimes when people are going through trying times, when they are going through tough situation, or maybe they lost a loved one, their father died or their mother died, or their brother or siblings, they lost somebody dear to them. You understand? There is nobody that can comfort them at that point better than the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? You, with all you know, at best, you can just give them human comfort. But it is the Holy Spirit that knows how to comfort those that are going through such situation. Hallelujah. Give me verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This will bless somebody. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." He is the God of all comfort, because He is the comforter. Semicolon. Verse 4. "Who comforted us in all our tribulation." The Holy Spirit comforts you in all your tribulation. It's part of His ministry in you. He said that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Hallelujah. "By the comfort therewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You know, when somebody loses somebody very dear to them, sometimes you see a human being says, "Oh, so sorry, I understand how you are feeling." Eh? You don't understand, though. If not for God, sometimes the people are doing like this. What did you just say? You understand what I'm feeling? Really? You don't understand, because you are not in their shoe. Just do your own, and quietly and go. Don't be saying things that will be causing problem. Sometimes self silence is even, you know, when Job went through all the things he went through, the tribulation Job went through, You read about it. He lost everything. Lost his business, his money. The world's greatest man was reduced to a nobody. He lost his children. He lost his health. He was plagued with boil by Satan. Satan attacked him. He lost everything, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. When his friends came to see him, his three friends, the Bible says when they saw him from afar, they could not recognize Job. They had to put ashes on their head and they wore sackcloth, and sat down with Job and were mourning. They didn't say a word for 7 days. Have you ever gone to comfort somebody like that? He just sat down for 7 days. No talking. Because you saw the weight of the problem this person is going through. You couldn't even talk. What will you say? Some of our fathers, some of our parents, they understand this one. If you go to the village, they go and greet somebody. They are not saying anything, but they are saying something. Are you getting me? But the chief comforter is the Holy Spirit. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Apart from when I'm fellowshipping with God, I hardly cry. There is no problem in this world that will make me cry. I hardly cry, except I'm in fellowship with God, especially when I'm worshiping God. Or sometimes in prayer, I cry. But the only time I remember I cried was when news of my mother's death came to me. I was in Ola Hospital. I was working. The moment I heard it, I think it was my wife that told me. Because she had seen the message my brother sent to me, but she hid it. She didn't want it to affect my balance at home. I was looking for my phone that morning. I was rushing to go to work. I didn't see my phone. She hid it. Because she didn't want to tell me immediately. It was later. I was working. Then that time, said, Pibobo was not feeling fine. It was running temperature. So. The moment I heard it, oh boy, tears came out of my eyes because of the way I loved her. I cried. Then the Holy Ghost came and did me like this. Though he started comforting me. Hallelujah. My wife too comforted me. So I have two Holy Spirits. By the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. Hallelujah. Say, I receive supernatural comfort. I receive the comforting ministry of the Holy Ghost. Then the second one there is what? He is our counselor. Go back to that scripture. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. Is our counselor. He gives us counsel from within. What is counsel? Advice. What is counsel? Guidance. He gives us wisdom and counsel. He's the spirit of wisdom. He's the spirit of counsel. Am I communicating? The spirit of counsel is one of the seven spirits of God. He gives us counsel from within concerning your business. He begins to advise you how to attract more customers, how to increase your profit. See, learn to listen to him. Most of the time, we trust more in our brain. We trust more in our intellect than we trust in him. Rely more on him. Listen to him. He will give you counsel on how to make that your relationship and marriage work. He will give you counsel concerning how to do ministry better. That will lead to church growth and all of that. He gives you counsel concerning your finances. Concerning your health, your career, your job. He is the best advisor. I say he is the best advisor. Always seek his opinion. You know, most of the times we value the opinion of experts, human experts, more than his own opinion. It's an error. The advice of the Holy Spirit, his counsel, is greater than anyone human beings can give you, or any expert in any field. He will tell you what even the technocrats don't know about that business, about your investment, about your field. He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. He will direct you alongside God's will. Am I communicating? His counsels are full of wonders. That's why it's called the Wonderful Counselor. He is the extraordinary strategist. He will give you the best strategy that will lead to success in any area. When you follow his counsel, you enjoy his wonders. You will see the wonders of God. Sometimes what he tells you to do may not make human sense. But if you obey and do it, you will get supernatural results. It may not make sense, but it makes spirit. Hi, look at this kind of counsel he gave Moses. When Pharaoh was in hot pursuit of the children of Israel after they left Egypt, and Pharaoh's army, they were driving very fast chariot. The children of Israel were trekking with leg. When they heard that, Pharaoh is in hot pursuit of them, they look in front. It was the Red Sea. And then by the side, wilderness full of serpent and all these dangerous things. So they were edged within. And the people cried to Moses, and Moses cried to God. God said, why do you cry to me? Tell my people to go forward. Hey! Ewele, go forward where? Red Sea is in front. That's the counsel he gave. Tell my people to go forward. Then he said, lift up your hands over the Red Sea. Stretch your rod and divide it. Hey, yeah. Can you see his counsel? That was how a strong east wind came from God's presence and parted the Red Sea and dried the ground. And the waters became like a heap to the left and to the right. And the children of Israel, by faith, the faith of Moses, they walked on dry ground. They passed through the Red Sea. The Egyptians were trying to follow them. They were drowned. His counsels are full of wonders. What about Joshua? When they obeyed the counsel of the wonderful counselor, what happened? Jericho collapsed, the walls collapsed, sank like a pack of cards, and the city was taken. You never lose any battle when you learn to listen to the wonderful counselor. I say you lose no battle when you listen to the voice of the wonderful counselor. Let him teach you how to trade forex. Let him teach you how to trade crypto. Follow his advice. Pray, ask for his direction, ask for his guidance. As you are preparing for that job interview, follow his counsel. Am I communicating? Follow his counsel. I remember one time, my wife can remember, I was working in Sabunla in Mangu there, Kokin Hospital. Got married to my wife, and the Holy Spirit was giving me a different direction that I should resign from there and come to Jos because the ministry will be more demanding now. Then we were meeting like fortnightly, like twice every month. So, and he said I should resign. I've not gotten a job in Jos. I was now wondering, what am I going to do? Okay, an opportunity came. I should apply to Ola Hospital. I heard they were beginning, people were applying. So I went with my wife, I went with my application letter. Now, when I went there, I went to the CMD's office and they told me that he's busy, that he's seeing patient, he's having clinic. The secretary said, I can drop the application and go. Because she doesn't know when he's going to close, finish the clinic. There are so many patients. So, the most sensible thing at that point is what? Drop the application with her, and then she will give him when he comes. After all, she is the secretary to the CMD. But the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, told me no, I shouldn't give her the application. That I should wait to see the CMD and talk to him and give him myself. So I told her that, don't worry, I will wait for him. She said, will you be able to wait? I said, I will wait. I waited, we waited, I was with my wife, she's here. Waited, how long did you even wait? I can't even remember. For long, actually. We had to wait for him to see all the patients and finish. So he was even hurrying. He just came into his office when he finally saw the patient. He was hurrying to go out. Then the secretary then told him about us, that we wanted to see you. These people want to see you. So I met him. I said, sir, I brought my application for job and all of that. He said, what? He said, as I'm talking with you like this, he said, I'm going for interview. That's, I'm going to interview the people that have already applied. He said, is everything inside? I said, yes. He said, no problem, you have submitted to me. Now follow me for the interview. And that was how we went for the interview. So it was the day of the interview that I went with application.
Now imagine if I had listened to the secretary, I would have lost that opportunity because she will collect my own and keep somewhere. And we went for the interview, and then long story cut short, out of all the doctors, they picked only two, me and another lady, were the people that were called. And I started working there. So I then resigned. I then shifted to Jos. So AGM, I started meeting every Sunday from there. Learn to listen to the wonderful counselor. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will what? He will direct your path. Hallelujah. The next is what? Advocate. Okay, helper. Is your helper. I said the Holy Ghost is your helper. Is your chief helper in life. Is your number one destiny helper. Is your chief destiny helper. In fact, it is him that will bring all the other human destiny helpers to you. He is your very present help in time of trouble. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He gives you grace. He gives you mercy. He is your helper. He is called to go along side by side with you and provide help for you. When Jesus was with his disciple, he was their helper. When they were hungry, he gave them food. When they were in crisis, he brought them out. So he's now saying that I will send you another comforter, another helper, another one of the same kind that will help you the way I've been helping you, but this time around in an unlimited way. So you didn't hear what I just said. The Holy Ghost will give you unlimited supernatural help. I said the Holy Ghost will give you unlimited supernatural help. From the day you receive the Holy Ghost, this word should be totally erased from your vocabulary. I am helpless. You are not helpless. I say you are not helpless. You are not hopeless. You are not helpless. You are not hopeless. Because you have the helper. You have the Holy Ghost. He gives you supernatural help in every area of your life. You are marvelously helped of God because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are marvelously helped of God in your finances, in your ministry, in your health, marvelous help in your family, in your career, in your job. Say, I receive help from the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Makobo sabakataya. Rande kevrekete. One day I was coming from Avalanche of Good News broadcast. We didn't go with car that day, so I went by commercial. I was coming back, and the Holy Ghost wanted to prove something to me that day, that he can help me, that he is my helper. Of course, I know he is my helper. He just wanted to show me something that day. I was surprised that the three vehicles I entered, none of them asked for money. I'm telling you, until I got home, the first one carried me from here to there, and then he said, I wanted to pay. He said, no. I just felt like carrying you. As if that was a coincidence. I stopped another one. The second vehicle I entered, I wanted to pay. He said, no. I just wanted to help you. As if that one was a coincidence. The third one, this one carried me right and dropped just close to that bakery, close to our place. Those are not our new place. Close to the bakery. Dropped me there. And then he said, I just feel like helping you, carrying you. None of them collected money. And then I said, Holy Spirit, what happened? He then said, I am your helper. I just wanted to show you that I can help you even without paying transport. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit does things that you will know he is the one. Are you looking for money? He can help you. He can give you money. He can move people to give you money. Am I communicating? Or rather, self, he may move people to do for you what you will have paid for with money. They will do it for you free. Why? He will give you favor. He is the one that gives supernatural favor. Favor with men. Am I communicating? I say he is your helper. 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 I was just reminded again by the Holy Spirit. He just reminded me now. He said, can you remember one time that I helped you from Nasarawa to Abuja? And I say, yes, sir. He said, I should tell you that one too, since I'm talking about transport. So I'm going to tell you that one too. There was a time I went to Lafia. And then I was looking at time. It was getting late. It was around afternoon. And it's like 4 hour journey. You know, I did 3-4 hours. That's to Abuja, Lafia to Abuja. I didn't want to do night journey. So I stood. I didn't go to the park. I stood along the road to Abuja from Lafia. Okay? I was waiting for all these vehicles that go to Abuja on the express. So I stood there. You know? Time was going. I was even getting worried. Vehicles were not stopping. Then suddenly this vehicle just came. It came and passed me. Then it reversed and came to where I was and stood in my front. He then brought down the glass. He said, where are you going? I said, Abuja. He said, enter. I'm going to Abuja too. And this happened to be a young Air Force officer. He's a young Air Force officer. So we're going. He just started gisting with me. Started gisting, talking. He was even telling me of his wedding. That he's preparing for wedding. He even gave me a card and invited me. He said, hey, where did you say you are going? I said, Abuja. He carried me and dropped me in front of my house. And then I said, how much am I paying you, sir? He said, no. He said, my God, say I should carry you. And that was it. It was the Holy Spirit. He will move people, touch their heart. See, the Holy Ghost can influence the system to favor you. He can influence anybody. Hey, even evil Moradak can show you favor. Hey! How can you explain it? That Moses' mother was paid salary to do what? Nanny work to take care of her own son by Pharaoh's daughter. In the palace. How can you explain it? Pharaoh's daughter employed Moses' mother to take care of Moses, and then she was being paid. Moses' mother was collecting salary. Somebody say favor. The Holy Ghost, say with me, Spirit of the Living God, I recognize you as my helper. I'm not without help. I am not helpless. You always show up for me. You are always there to help. You are always there to help me. And he does that without fail. He's your very present help in time of trouble. And he gives you timely help. He is never late. I say he is never late. He is never late. Then the Holy Spirit is your intercessor. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 is your intercessor. I think I explained this. Is it day one, ba? Is it day one or day two? I can't remember. Day two. In the part two of this teaching series, I explained how he helps us in prayer. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, that infirmities there is talking of weaknesses or limitation. Our human limitations, he helps us. So the Holy Spirit is the limit breaker. I say it's a limit breaker. It breaks every limit. It breaks barrier. It takes off the limit, the limitations. Human limitations and weaknesses is the solution to them. He said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, New King James Version, another version puts it better. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. We say the highest level of praying in the Spirit is groanings. Groanings is the highest level. Praying in tongues is a form of praying in the Spirit, okay? Prophetic prayers are a form of praying in the Spirit, but the highest form is groanings. Is groanings. These are Spirit's prayer. Spirit inspired prayer. Glory to God. Then verse 27. Maleko Shalabasa. Is the person there sleeping? Glory to God. Oh, okay. Okay, I understand. I understand. You will get used to the system very soon. An anointing will soon land on you. You start doing it like the Ojima and Temitokpe and Witty programmer. Glory to God. Anointing for speed to soon land on you. He said, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. He maketh, look at it, because he, that's the Holy Spirit, he maketh intercession for the saint according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit helps you in prayer, helps you to pray and intercede in line with God's will, in harmony with God's will. Go back to 26 and give me an amplified. So he comes to our aid. He props us up. He lays hold with us. Am I communicating? In prayer. He lays hold. Can you remember that illustration I gave? Those two people that carried this pulpit. The Holy Spirit, he comes to our aid. He lays hold with us in prayer. Am I communicating? He infuses the grace, the grace for prayer, the strength you need, the wisdom you need. Am I communicating? You cannot have a successful prayer life without the help of the Holy Spirit. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is our helper. Is our intercessor, and then is our advocate. The word advocate is a legal term. It means counsel for the defense. Counsel, a lawyer that defends somebody that has been accused. Am I communicating? Is our advocate. You know, Satan is called what? The accuser of what? The brethren. And he specializes in accusing us. But thank God we have an advocate. I say thank God we have an advocate. I say thank God we have an advocate. I say thank God we have an advocate. The Holy Ghost is our lawyer. He interprets the word of God to us. He interprets the will of God the same way a lawyer interprets will of a dead man. Okay? He interprets God's will and then he defends us. He stands in our defense. So anytime Satan brings railing accusation against you, the Holy Ghost stands as your advocate before the righteous judge. Am I communicating? And he points to the blood of Jesus, which was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. It points to the sacrifice of Jesus, how Jesus was condemned on your behalf. Am I communicating? He uses the evidence of God's word to back you up in your defense. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you that ye sin not. So it's not compulsory to sin. But however, did you notice he's telling little children? That means one sign of spiritual immaturity is that, you see, people that are spiritually children, they sin a lot. Baby Christians. That's why we preach and teach God's word, to bring people to maturity. The more you grow spiritually, the less you sin. But it's not compulsory that you must sin. It's not a must. That's why it says, I write to you that ye sin not. And if any man, it didn't say when any man, it said if any man, not when any man. Is there a difference? Yes. If he had said when, that means there is no Christian that can live without sinning. But he didn't say when any man. He said if is conditional. If, telling you that you can live above sin. I say you can live above sin. I say you can live above sin. The Holy Ghost helps you to live above sin. He said in case, if any man sin. But the good news is that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, remember, Jesus said, I will send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So, the Holy Spirit is a type of Jesus. He is Jesus unlimited. Am I communicating? Just like Jesus is our advocate, the Holy Spirit too is our advocate. Can you shout amen? So, he said, in case you sin, don't kill yourself. You have an advocate. There is solution. The blood of Jesus is there. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. Am I communicating? So don't die of satanic guilt and condemnation. Okay? Don't die under the weight of guilt and condemnation. You have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. Next verse. Who is... And he is the propitiation or sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Then the Holy Ghost is your strengthener. The Holy Ghost is your strengthener. In Ephesians 3:14, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He said that ye might be strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost in your inner man. Give me verse 16. Go to verse 16. Kunda barakataya. He said that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. How? How? By his spirit in the inner man. So the Holy Spirit in your inner man, the Holy Spirit in your inner man, will infuse you with supernatural strength so that you will not be weak. Say, I refuse to be weak. The Holy Spirit is my strengthener. And infuses me with supernatural strength. Hallelujah. He gives us supernatural strength and energy. He is our divine energizer. He is our divine enabler. He is our supernatural strengthener. He is our supernatural energizer. He infuses us with superhuman energy, so that you can do the impossible. Human strength and ability is limited, but the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit is unlimited, so that you may be strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost in your inner man. So anytime you are praying, be conscious of the Holy Spirit as your strengthener. Anytime you feel weak in your flesh, when you feel weak in your body, remember that you have a strengthener. Ask for the Holy Ghost to help you. Ask him to strengthen you. Am I communicating? He gives us supernatural strength. Shamaleko vraka patanas. Kondroboko safra balatiza. Paul, no wonder Apostle Paul understood this. He said, when I feel weak, then am I strong. In other words, when I feel weak in my flesh, then I will now remember that I have the Holy Spirit who is my strengthener, and then I become strong. does it make common sense in English? When I am weak, when I am weak, then am I strong? How can you explain it in English? Doesn't it look as if the two statements are fighting each other? In English language, if you want to explain it in English, how will you explain it? Eh? When I'm weak, then am I strong? Oh yeah, explain. Let's say you are writing WAEC in English language. Say, explain the meaning of this phrase. When I'm weak, then am I strong? How can you explain it? If not this explanation I'm giving you by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is his strengthener. So you don't run out of strength. I say you don't run out of strength. So the more you fellowship with him, the stronger you become. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amplified. Ephesians 6 verse 10. King James says, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at how Amplified puts it. Okay? Before you start engaging in spiritual warfare, he says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. In parenthesis, be empowered through your union with him. And I told you we are in union with him, right? Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from where? Draw your strength from where? Draw your strength from where? From him. That strength which his boundless might provides. Can you shout amen? Say, I'm not weak in Jesus' name. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. And I'm strong in the power of his might. Say, I am empowered by the Holy Ghost through my union with him. So you draw strength from within. How? By praying in tongues, by fellowshipping with him. Hallelujah. Your days of weakness are over. Your days of weakness and frailty are over. It says, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. Then the seventh ministry of the Holy Spirit in us is the Holy Ghost is our standby. I say it's our standby. Standby is just like standby generator. You know, when NEPA, or is it PHCN? When PHCN disappoints, they take light. What do? You turn on the standby gen. Or if you have solar, alternative power, you use your solar. So the good news is that when we run out of options, every other option, the Holy Ghost is a final arbiter, is our standby. Like a standby gen is always there for you. Am I communicating? Malikobo Sabalataya. You can trust in him. He is a dependable person. He is a reliable person. He gives you staying power. He's always there. He says, I will never ever leave you. He doesn't come and go. His presence is forever. It's up to you to be conscious of his presence. But he's always there. Whether you are conscious or not, whether you feel it or not, he is there. Hallelujah. Stop interpreting God's presence based on your feelings. God is not in your feelings. God is in his word. And his word says his presence is always with you. Am I communicating? There are days, even me, I don't feel his presence. But it doesn't change the fact that he is there. My faith is not in my feelings. My faith is in God's word. Hallelujah. There are situations that I looked as if the Holy Spirit is not there. Crisis situation. But the fact that Jesus and his disciple, they were faced with a storm, does it mean Jesus was not in the boat? His presence is there, even in the midst of crisis.
and is there to help you. He will bail you out of every crisis. Hallelujah. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit through us? I've told you His ministry in us as our comforter, advocate, counselor, intercessor, helper, strengthener, standby. I round up with this. What is His ministry through us to the church, that's the body of Christ, and the world? Now listen, the Holy Spirit has a ministry through us to the body of Christ. He has a ministry through us to the world. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me." 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11 talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And guess what? The empowerment and engracement of the Holy Spirit that we receive through communion with the Holy Spirit is actually to equip us, to empower us for effective kingdom service, for service delivery. So the Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us grace to do ministry, for ministerial works of service. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the same Spirit within can come upon us and empower us for kingdom service, so that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ and be a blessing to our world. So, the Holy Spirit gives us grace and power that supernaturally equips us and enables us to what? To minister and to function. Glory to God. So that you can fulfill your calling. So that you can fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. The Holy Ghost empowers you. He gives you grace so that you can fulfill your ministry, whether it is in the fivefold ministry in the church or in the marketplace. You cannot fulfill your divine purpose, calling, and destiny without the empowerment of the Spirit, without the engracement of the Spirit. And I've told you, the key to this empowerment and engracement is what? Intimacy with the Holy Spirit, communion with the Spirit. So as you commune with Him, He empowers you, He anoints you, He gives you grace so that you can function effectively in your ministry. You can function effectively in the area of kingdom service so that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ as you serve the body of Christ, so that you can be a blessing to the world as you serve the world. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. The Holy Ghost is the one that anoints men. The Holy Ghost is the one that empowers men so that he can go about. He was the one that anointed and empowered Jesus, who went about doing good. That's kingdom service, right? That's ministerial service. That's ministry. Jesus could not function effectively without the empowerment of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 24 verse 49, Jesus said, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be what? Clothed with what? Power from on high." Now, do you notice that He said they should tarry? 22:49, Luke 24:49. He had given them an assignment initially. What did He say? "Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel." What we call the Great Commission. And then He said, "Disciple the nations." Is that not the assignment Jesus gave them? But watch this. He said, don't be in a hurry to go about fulfilling the assignment. There is something you need. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." And then He says, "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high." And in Acts chapter 2,
the Holy Ghost came and endued them with what? Power from on high. They needed that empowerment and equipment of the Holy Ghost so that they can be effective and efficient in carrying out the assignment he gave them, so that they can be his ambassadors, effective ambassadors, so that they can be a blessing to the world. Am I communicating? I'm trying to show you the ministry of the Holy Spirit through us to the body of Christ, that's the church, and to the world at large. So he empowers us for kingdom service. He empowers us for ministry. He empowers us to fulfill our divine purpose, calling, and destiny. He gives us the grace and power to carry out every divine assignment in order to serve the body of Christ and also to serve the world at large. And we are his partners. We partner with the Holy Ghost in soul winning. You see, we partner with him in soul winning as the Lord of the harvest. The Holy Ghost is the Lord of the harvest. Am I communicating? So, we partner with him for successful soul winning. You know, Jesus said, we should go into all the world, preach the gospel, whosoever I believe and is baptized shall be saved. He says, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins upon them. He said, we are his ambassadors. Now, you will never be successful in evangelism, in soul winning, in preaching and teaching the gospel until you learn to partner with the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord of the harvest. He will give you the wisdom you need. He will give you the power you need. He will give you the guidance, the much needed guidance and direction, and the grace in order to win souls, in order to advance the kingdom, in order to establish the kingdom. Am I communicating? Successful soul winning is impossible without partnering with the Holy Spirit. So you must learn to listen to him. Let him give you wisdom. Let him give you utterance. Let him empower you. You see, when you are preaching, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts sinners and bring them to the point of repentance and then salvation. So that as you are preaching during evangelism, as you are preaching the gospel, your listeners, the power of God is released. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because your words are anointed. He anoints your words with convicting power that will now bring sinners to the point of what? Conviction. And then conviction will lead to what? Repentance. And then they will now receive the gift of salvation. If you neglect the Holy Spirit, you cannot be successful in soul winning. That's why Jesus said, before they go about carrying out the great commission, they should wait, tarry in Jerusalem. And the good news is that you have received the Holy Spirit. So now learn to partner with him. I will never forget, I used to be frustrated anytime I go on evangelism until I got to understand how to partner with the Holy Spirit to be successful in soul winning. When I learned how to partner with him in prayer, I learned how to partner with him, to listen to him, to follow his leading, trust him. Am I communicating? He's the one that gives you the anointing to win souls. As a student, I once went to Abuja Hostel to win souls. I entered, I think it was female hostel. I was preaching. You know the way some people like to mock you when you come to preach? How many of you have been there? You understand? They will just say, preacher, tell them. They will not even be listening. They will be doing something else. It's like in their mind, let him talk, finish and go. So I entered. I started talking to this lady about Jesus. I started talking to her. Initially, she didn't want to listen. She was just busy doing some other things. She was just trying to tolerate my presence, just waiting for me to finish whatever rubbish I'm saying and go. But I knew the Holy Spirit was with me. And I was just talking.
Then at a point, I noticed she started listening. At a point, the Holy Spirit just gripped her attention. She stopped everything else. She started giving me 100% attention and concentration. And I knew the Holy Ghost is at work already. And then, I now got to a point. I asked her, I said, are you ready to receive, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She just broke down and started crying. That's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Our words are not ordinary. See, learn to pray before you go out and win souls. When you pray, you activate the anointing. You partner with the Holy Ghost. You are not alone. Sometimes as you are preaching, the Holy Ghost will start telling you some things about the person. He can give you word of wisdom. He can give you word of knowledge. He can open your eyes. He can give you a prophecy about the person. He anoints you. And he releases that convicting power. They are upon your word, so that anybody that listens to you that needs to be born again is convicted and brings the person to the point of salvation. Rise to your feet. Say, I receive grace to partner with the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill my divine calling, purpose, and destiny. I receive grace to partner with the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill my ministry of reconciliation, in order to win souls, in order to be an effective soul winner. The Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 6:1. He says, we are laborers together with God. We are laborers, joint promoters. We then as workers together. So you learn to partner with him. Whether it is in soul winning or in doing ministry work or kingdom service. Ministry can kill you if you don't understand what I'm saying. Learn to partner with him. Oh, the burden of ministry, if you don't want to collapse under the weight, allow the Holy Ghost to carry the weight for you. Partner with him. That's why I say my burden is light, because he's the one carrying the heaviest load. He's carrying the heaviest load. He now gave you small part. But if you don't know how to partner with him, you will collapse under the weight of the heavy load. Hallelujah. We then, okay, give me an amplified, as workers together with God. Oh my God. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. He said, beseech you also. You see, even utterance is the Holy Ghost that gives you utterance. You know, some people find it hard to win souls. In their mind, what will I be saying? What will I say now? Some will even rehearse what they will say. They will even write it on a paper, put it in their pocket. They will first rehearse it. The soul is in front there. They will rehearse it first, like expo. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need all of that. He will give you utterance. He will put words in your mouth. He said, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which none of your adversaries shall be able to gainsay nor resist. Hallelujah. He said, laboring together as God's fellow workers with him, we beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I want you to lift up your voice. Says, Father, in the name of Jesus, Spirit of the Living God, I recognize you as my helper. I recognize you as my strengthener. I recognize you as my comforter. I recognize you as my counselor. I recognize you as my advocate. I recognize you as my intercessor. I recognize you as my standby. I receive of your ministry in me, and I receive of your ministry. I'm conscious of your ministry, and I receive of that ministry in me, and I receive of your ministry through me to serve the body of Christ. I recognize your ministry through me to the world at large. I recognize you as the Lord of the harvest, and I partner with you in the business of soul winning. I partner with you. You are the Lord of the harvest. I partner with you to usher in the mega harvest of souls into the kingdom. Now lift up your voice and pray. Kambarondo suvragabadia lambresco tekidas bale kumvraka pala sudeketena lefratoska paka sabalataya ingrosko telida halabande isheli malagadai embreketoso botiki balatia mantoposa.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Agon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.